even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money at Menards.
It's How Do We Fix It with Richard and Jim.
Finn Murphy's Tales of a Trucker, what all of us should know about moving.
If you don't have a great marriage, if you want to get your kid off drugs, don't move for those reasons. That's not going to work. Stuff drives people crazy. And the more stuff they have, the crazier they get.
How do we fix it?
How do we fix it?
So, Jim, we have a world-class expert on moving at the table with us, a man who's seen more of America's towns, cities, and highways than anybody I know, and he's done it from high up in the cab of a big rig moving truck.
Finn Murphy is the author of The Long Haul, A Trucker's Tales of Life on the Road, and the book is just full of all kinds of fascinating anecdotes and perspectives.
Yeah, we'll get to some of those. Finn has some advice, too, about our stuff and moving. More than 1 in 9 Americans are expected to move house this year. That's nearly 40 million people.
So, Finn, welcome to How Do We Fix It?
You've learned a lot about stuff, our attachments to our belongings.
Stuff drives people crazy. And the more stuff they have, the crazier that they get.
What's the category of stuff that kind of blows your mind the most, that somebody's actually bothering to move it?
Tupperware. So here's a piece of advice. Why don't you go and pull all the Tupperware out and find out which ones have tops and which ones don't and which ones have been divorced with irreconcilable differences, and then throw them out. Tupperware doesn't really have that much value. It's not really that expensive, but people don't throw it out. And there's another one. Sheets. So everybody's got the two sets of sheets that they use, and then there's four other sets that are in the linen closet, and then they get pushed around, and then you don't know what size it is or whatever, so they never get used.
So true.
Yeah.
we have that problem.
So those are two. And then you go through you can cull the garage. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, how many wire rakes do you really need?
Do you think people have too much stuff?
I try not to bring a lot of judgment to that. What I try to do personally is to remember what I see, so that how it works in my own life. And my own life is extremely simple. I've got a little house in Colorado. I've got some shirts hanging in the closet, and that's where I mail my tax returns from. But there's not much in there. Books. I've got a few books.
So you've been driving this country since the 70s. And what have you seen change over those decades?
Well, houses have changed a lot. I read a statistic somewhere. Houses are 30% bigger than they were in the 1980s. And I have no trouble believing that at all. So now you've got 6,000 square foot houses. 3-car garages. What happened to the single car garage? Over the fireplace now, you have a 72-inch flat screen instead of a painting, and nobody seems to have books anymore.
Yeah, you mentioned that. Yeah. Nobody has books.
And I noticed one thing you mentioned was, in the old days, moving vans would get broken into because there was valuable stuff. You know, people had expensive hi-fis and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And although I don't think too many people were stealing pianos.
Really?
You'd have to be a masochistic thief.
I'd love to have a nice piano.
but you said that today there's actually not that much high-value stuff in that big van.
I don't know where it's all gone, because when I first started in the late 70s, and I was in Connecticut too, so there was a lot of antiques, you know, a lot of big armoires and all that. And then you had China in the China cabinet with
silver,
cut crystal.
Yeah.
And what do we have instead?
We have IKEA. We have CD towers to show off the Disney videos. We have electronics of all kinds. In fact, that's another thing. Not only are houses bigger now, but the basements, apparently, they seem to be all finished basements now with a couple extra bedrooms. And then a second electronics room because nobody can seem to agree on what to watch upstairs.
So, Finn, you have an unusual background for a truck driver. You grew up in Coscob, Connecticut, very Tony region,
posh,
right?
Yes.
Next to Greenwich. And you went to Colby College, or actually where my son went to college.
Yeah, an elite liberal arts school.
Yeah, and then in your junior year, you said, Mom, Dad, I'm going to drop out. What happened?
That was a really popular decision in the family, I can assure you. What happened was I was working summers as a local mover at a moving company right down the street owned by Mr. Callahan, and my name is Murphy, and he went to St. Catherine of Siena Church. And if you got to be 17 and you were from Coscob and were from St. Catherine's, you could work on the moving trucks if that's what you wanted to do. And that was what I wanted to do. And so that was my summer job. And then I took a trip with a long-haul driver in between my sophomore and junior year, and that was it. We went down to Virginia Beach, Virginia, took the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel on US 17, and now I was seduced.
So you spend most of your life moving stuff, but where did you go from being a mover to a writer?
So I started making audio tapes. I had an audio cassette recorder. And at the end of the day, I used to just talk about and make a few impressions or something. And then I started doing it while I was driving. And then I was having so much fun with this, I actually started to surreptitiously record situations and people when I was out there. So like during the workday and interactions with our customers and things in the truck stop. And when about 5 years ago, I thought, well, let's see what I have here. So I had them transcribed, and I ended up with a pile of about 600 pages of a lot of decent stuff and a lot of garbage, and went through it and started editing it. And I thought, wow, we don't have a semi-literate book about what it's like to be out there on the road as a truck driver. So and I thought, well, I might as well. I'm as good as anybody else. Maybe I'll try it.
So what do you love about doing what you do?
So there's two things. I was just getting a little wistful, actually, when I talked about doing the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel for the first time, which is an amazing thing to see. Coming east on I-90 from eastern Washington and then going through the vineyards there, it looks like France, eastern Washington. It's one of the most underrated places in the country. Most people haven't even been there. You have these beautiful vineyards, and then you have the Cascade Mountains rising up above with the snow cap, and you do that at sunset driving west. It's just incredible.
So how have they changed? I rode across the country a few years ago. I had hitchhiked across the country a lot as a younger person, but then my son and I drove across a few years ago, across 80, the kind of classic route, and it was different. The diners weren't there anymore. The truck stops were not as funky and cool as I remember them. Of course, I was in my 20s when I was doing it before. What changes do you see?
Yes, so most of the truck stops are centralized. There's two big operators. You've got Pilot Flying J and you've got Travel Centers of America. Those are the two big ones. And then a distant third would be Love's Truck Stops. These are all big companies. But most of the restaurants are gone, and most of the small little truck stops are gone. And those are the ones that had the diners. And, you know, there's
and the apple pie and the good coffee.
The apple pie, the good coffee. You know, that first scene in The Grapes of Wrath, you know, the truck driver's there in getting his pie and coffee. That's gone, and it's pretty much replaced
and
by
Jack Kerouac somebody. Talked about it, too. He talked about it. He said he was going to go all the way across the country eating nothing but pie a la mode.
He might have had a cocktail in there somewhere, too, probably.
And now he wouldn't get that pie.
Now he'd be eating Subway.
You write a lot about the beauty and grace of hard physical work. You write that hard labor is a salve for an overactive mind. What do you mean?
I love the execution of it, and I love there's an intellectual component to the kind of work that I do. it's sort of got a magical combination of specialized knowledge and brute force, and that appeals very much to my personality. And then we have the camaraderie of working with a crew, and I've got crews all over the country that I work with and have been working with for years and years and years.
I want to ask you about your life on the road. Do you have to be a loner to be a trucker, or is it a pretty good social life and you don't spend a huge amount of time on your own?
I think you need to be a loner now, and it's less sociable than it used to be, because one of the reasons is trucks are way more comfortable now than they used to be. So now I've got a brand new truck waiting for me in Indianapolis right now. It has 8 miles on it. It's a freight, it's a Freightliner Cascadia. I can't wait to get into it. It's got a it's got a queen size bed in the back. It's got a bunk bed up above. It's got a microwave oven. It's got a refrigerator. It's got a nav system. It's got an air ride seat that I customized to my body. So if I'm parked at a truck stop, am I going to be sitting in one of those subway benches, or am I going to be lying in my truck with the air conditioner on and my DirecTV satellite?
You've made a good living out of trucking. You're on the high end of truckers, but truckers come in all types, don't they?
Long haul movers, we are at the apex of the pyramid. I mean, if I work 12 months a year, I could make well in excess of $250,000 a year. But the average wage or annual wage for a trucker is between $36,000 and $40,000. So there's a huge disparity there. It's a pretty diverse group. It's not, you know, a harmonized bunch of, you know, rednecks. Not at all. And getting less so all the time as well.
Do you think a lot of people look down on blue-collar occupations?
I think it's been devalued since the time that I started. I'm not sure why that is. And the other thing I'm not sure about why that is, when I started working as a local mover between college for Mr. Callahan, there was a very stable group of about 20 manual laboring men in Coscob, Connecticut, who had been there a long time, who owned their own homes and, you know, had regular families. And that sort of middle-class laborer seems to have disappeared out of the United States.
And in the book, you mentioned that your workforce, you say now it's mostly, English is very rarely heard on these crews, and it's mostly immigrants doing the work. Do you think that's part of the shift that we've seen?
I'm not sure about that. I think, you know, there's sort of three major industries that are pretty much non-English speaking now. So that would be landscaping, house cleaning, and moving.
And you could add the restaurant business.
And you can add, right, especially the
back
of the house.
Back in the kitchen.
Yeah. Yes. I think it's typical of the American immigrant experience. I mean, the Callahan brothers that I worked for was two generations ago. That was the Irish coming over. And then in the moving industry, certainly in the Northeast, it was Italians and Irish. Mariano brothers, Malloy brothers, I mean, they were all brothers, the Seven Santini brothers. That was the immigrant experience for those people, and now we have the Hispanics coming in doing the same thing. So I don't think that's different.
One thing that is different, you mentioned you started working, doing this when you were in high school. The numbers show that there aren't as many high school students doing this kind of summer job. I bet you most parents in Coscob don't want their kids loading trucks. They want them doing an internship at, you know, Goldman Sachs or something.
Yes. And in fact, my parents probably rued the day where I became a manual laborer, because I actually got caught in it and sort of am still caught in it. It's worked out fine. I'm very satisfied. And my parents and I finally made it up.
How long did it take?
Well, we didn't speak for 2 years.
This is after you dropped out of Colby
College. Yeah, so I dropped out of Colby College and finished my junior year. And then I came back home and I said, you know, this is what I'm going to be doing. And my father, who had never gone to college, and the only regret he had in his whole life, his father died when he was 19. So my father had to go to work and support the family. And his one regret was that he could never go to college. One of the great things in his life that he was proud of was that all 8 children were going to go to college, and he was going to pay for that, except for the summer jobs we had to have. So to have that gift rejected was the basis of our contretemps.
Is he still around to read the book?
No, he's not. He died in 2004, but we made it up well before that.
It's How Do We Fix It. I'm Richard Davies.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Jim Meggs.
We're speaking with Finn Murphy, the author of The Long Haul, A Trucker's Tales of Life on the Road. Well, Finn, you are an expert on moving, so let's move to solutions. How do you pick the right moving company?
One of them is you pick a moving company that has a physical presence in your town, that has trucks, that has an office, that might be a small business owner, that might be somebody you met at church, he might be somebody that you met at a Rotary meeting, because nobody, moving companies don't want moves to go bad. It's very expensive to file claims, to pay claims, to handle claims. We want it to go right. But because you're moving stuff, sometimes things happen. And so when things happen, you want to be able to pick up the phone and call that guy you met at the Rotary meeting instead of at some call center in, you know, Indianapolis or Mumbai who's handling your move. Because the only time you really need to talk to somebody is if you have a problem move. And that's where you really want a human being.
And some of these moving companies almost operate like boiler rooms, right? I mean, it's a hard sell, sort of sales pitch, and the people who are running the show aren't really connected to the community.
No, and so that's the whole internet moving brokerage thing. They don't have any trucks. They're just brokers, and then they're calling you on the phone, and they're saying, "So what do you have in your house?" And you go from room to room, and you say, "Well, I've got a chair and a dresser." So what happens is when the driver shows up, what the person said they're moving and the reality of what they're moving, there can be quite a bit of disparity there. And then since the driver's paid by the weight, he wants to get paid for everything he's hauling, and a lot of these internet brokers give you guaranteed estimates. So once the driver shows up, sees there's way more than there should be, but he's not going to get paid for any more of that, then we have conflict. And I think the last thing you want on moving day is to have a conflict with the guy who's taking all the stuff that you value.
Right.
And people are also really territorial, aren't they? You write in your book that people often are at their worst when they're moving because they're nervous, they're anxious, they're worried you're going to break stuff.
Well, yeah. I mean, it hits them in their security spot. So, hiring a mover is like hiring a lawyer or a mortician. It carries a bunch of emotional baggage with it, and it's not always good news within a family when the movers are showing up.
So, does it make us happier? Are people happier after they're done with their moves?
Lots of people are, and lots of people aren't. So, if you want another, here's another moving tip. If you don't have a great marriage, if you want to get your kid off drugs, don't move for those reasons. That's not going to work. In fact, moving is going to exacerbate all of those things. What I see, certainly with the wealthy people that I move, I see a lot of unhappy families building a new house with the architect and getting the decorator and redoing all of this stuff. And somehow this is going to make our relationships better with our spouse or with our children. And it doesn't work that way.
Okay, those are reasons why you shouldn't move, but what are some reasons why maybe you should?
One of them is to move closer to family or friends or connections with people in general. And I think that's where sometimes my customers get this a little bit backwards. You know, the crock pot's not as important as the new neighbors that you're going to meet. And so that's a great reason to move. It's a great reason to move if you're moving from, say, an urban area into, you know, a suburb, because that's a place that you want to raise your children and to stay there and then become part of that community. To become part of a new community is a great reason to move.
You said right at the beginning of our podcast together that people really should just take the suitcase with them and go. What do you mean?
I mean that we know where everything goes.
As in ultimately. We movers. Yeah,
we movers. We know the ultimate fate of everything because we're the ones who are there at each stage of acquisition and each stage of eradication. If you're between 25 and 45, you are accumulating. If you're between 45 and 65, you are starting to disaccumulate. So it's not that important to us as it is to you. And we know that Aunt Tilly's antique vanity is going to get thrown into the dumpster or go to a yard sale. We know that your high school yearbook is going to have the same fate. We know that your kids' kindergarten drawings are all going to have the same fate. And so you don't have to get sad about that, and you don't have to worry about keeping it. Keep the friends who you were in high school with and throw away the yearbook. That's the important part.
Finn Murphy, thanks very much.
This is How Do We Fix It. I'm Jim Meggs.
I'm Richard Davies. So, Jim, we were talking about scary roads.
Yeah.
And you had the same, you had a weird experience on I-70.
Well, just, I mean, you know, I relate, even though I didn't spend decades of my life doing what this guy does as for a living, I spent a lot of my youth hitchhiking and driving around the country, all of those roads that he talked about. And that stretch of I-70 in Colorado that he mentioned, on a trip I took across the country with my son a few years ago, we got stopped in the middle of the night in Glenwood Canyon. A truck had turned over, blocked the entire highway.
This is in Colorado.
In Colorado, in this very narrow canyon where I-70 is actually sort of stacked up with an upper level going west and a lower level going east. And we actually had to turn around and drive backwards. In other words, drive the opposite way than you're supposed to get back to the next exit to get off the highway. They close the highway, but it's the spookiest thing to be driving along in the middle of the night going the wrong way on the interstate on purpose because the whole highway had been blocked by a turned over truck. So yeah, I can attest to what a kind of a hair-raising stretch of road that is.
Yeah, a good conversation about a lifestyle that I know nothing about.
Yeah, isn't it interesting? This is one of our softer shows. I mean, this is not so much about how are we going to save the country, but it's a perspective on the country we don't hear enough from people who do this kind of work for a living. And what I took away was this sense of this sort of a Zen attitude towards possessions.
Yeah, yeah, keep your friends, but don't necessarily... Yeah, yeah, keep your friends, but toss away the yearbook.
Yeah, and the Tupperware.
Exactly.
I love that. But you hang on to stuff because we have it. Having recently moved, I saw how hard it was to get rid of things that really didn't have that much value, but I still didn't want to make the decision to throw it away.
Well, I moved from a fairly large house in a suburb into New York City into an apartment, so I knew we were going to have to throw away a bunch of stuff, and I had a little time, and with all my clothes, I went through and I went, if you haven't worn it in the last 2 years, throw it out. Mm-hmm. I don't care how much you love it. And at first, it was like, oh, I really don't want to get rid of that suit, but I haven't missed anything. There's a huge amount of stuff we tossed away.
Yeah.
And I have no regrets.
The downside of this that I think is a little bit sad is that we've become a society that's so accustomed to these riches that you can walk into a Walmart and buy, you know, sweatshirts for $5 and TVs for $200 that you can actually afford to throw stuff away. I don't want to encourage that. I think it's wasteful from an environmental point of view, but I think that understanding that once things have passed their usefulness you know, it is time to move on. But then don't rush back out to Walmart and stuff your giant oversized closet exactly. again with stuff you're not going to wear.
And then another rule I think is good to have is once you're settled, don't have a storage room. You should be able to have your stuff fit in your house or in
yes.
your apartment.
Well, when I moved, we rented a storage unit because it made the decision-making easier. A lot of stuff just went into the storage unit, especially when we had our house on the market, that whole declutter thing. And then it took us about a year to go back and clean that storage unit out. And you know what we found? Almost everything we'd put in it, we didn't really want to keep in the end.
Just tossed it.
But it was still helpful just to have it for a little while.
Yeah. It's How Do We Fix It. I'm Richard Davies.
I'm Jim Meggs. And if you're moving anytime soon, make sure to check out Finn's book, The Long Haul, even though it's not really about moving advice. It's more about life advice. But it's a wonderful read.
Yeah, exactly. We're produced by Miranda Schaefer, and the production is from Davies Content. We make digital audio for companies and nonprofits at Davies Content, DAVIESCONTENT.com.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for listening.